I have another little article I'd like to share with you, and maybe some scripture concerning it. This is about, and I'm sure you've heard this kind of thing before with the Presbyterians and some others. You know, it seems to be the going thing for the old mainline denominations. They're going down the drain fast. And this is about Lutherans now are allowing pastors and gay relationships. Homosexual Lutheran clergy who are in sexual relationships will be able to serve as pastors, the largest U.S. Lutheran body said on Saturday. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, passed a resolution at its annual assembly urging bishops to refrain from disciplining pastors who are in faithful, committed, same-gender relationships. Now, that's an oxymoron if I ever heard one. Faithful, committed, same-gender relationships. Yeah. The resolution passed by a vote of 538-431. Wow. The church has just said, quote, do not do punishments, said Phil Saucy, spokesman for Lutherans Concerned, a gay lesbian rights group within the church. That is huge, quote, he says. The ELCA, which has 4.8 million members, had previously allowed gays to serve as pastors so long as they abstained from sexual relations. Well, now it seems that more than half of their leadership have changed their mind. The conference also instructed a committee that is developing a social statement on sexuality to further investigate the issue. The committee is scheduled to release its report in 2009. Since the ELCA was founded in 1988, the group has ordered three pastors in gay relationships to be removed from their ministries. The most recent case was decided in July when the ELCA's Committee on Appeals voted to remove an openly gay pastor from St. John's Lutheran Church in Atlanta. The gay clergy issue has become a flashpoint in other faiths, including the Anglican Church. Yes, the Presbyterians just went through a big bout with that. Well, isn't it interesting? These people aren't reading their Bible. You know, their leadership don't know what the Bible says, do they? Now, you know, I'll tell you something, folks. The Lord gives grace to anybody to repent. You know, if you're out there and you're listening and you're a gay, lesbian person, I want to tell you, the Lord will give you repentance. You can't turn away from this problem because it is demonic. But the Lord God can give you grace to turn away because that's what salvation's all about. He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And sin is sin. There are some sins, however, I want to warn you about that the Bible calls abominations. Now, some people say all sin is sin. Some are not worse. None are worse than others, and that's just a lie. It's not that you are condemned not knowing the Lord, but the Lord can give you grace to turn away from this. Let me read to you what the Bible says, okay? In Romans chapter 2. In verse 24, it says, wherefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Well, you know that in order to continue on in your lifestyle, some of you that are listening, you had to justify it. And you had to change the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you in black and white what the Word of God says today, and it's going to make you responsible. But I want to tell you, it's not left on your shoulders. The Lord Jesus delivered you from this sin. He made you free from sin, Romans 6 says. If you will turn your life over to Him and repent and say, yes, Lord, it's sin, and I ask you to deliver me as the Lord Jesus did at the cross, He will do that. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile passions. For their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was due. You can't get away with sin, folks. It'll make you miserable. It'll destroy you. And before long, you've justified it all, and you're reprobate, and you can't hear a thing God has to say. You know? So don't believe that there's anybody out there that is a Christian that is doing this willfully. That's not Christianity. Christian means Christ-like. You heard the black and white statement here from the Apostle Paul. He goes on to say, "And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. And being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but also consent with them that practice them." Well, folks, you just can't get out of it. It's very plain what the Lord is saying here. Look at Leviticus 29. I think it's Leviticus 20. Let me see. And verse 13. "And if a man lie with mankind as with womankind, both of them have committed abomination." Notice the words abomination. Abomination. Right? That's bad. I don't care how you look at it, that's bad. "They shall surely be put to death." Okay, you got one way out of this, folks. If you're into this sin, you got one way out. You have to repent. The Lord will forgive you. He will cast your sins in the depths of the sea. He will give you a new nature where you wouldn't think about doing such a thing. But you have to repent. Otherwise, you're going to get what he says here. "For the abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Isn't that plain? Black and white, right? And Deuteronomy 23 and verse 17. "There shall be no prostitute of the daughters of Israel, neither shall there be a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a harlot or the wages of a dog." Notice what he calls a sodomite. A dog. That doesn't sound pretty, does it? "Into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both of these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." God says it's an abomination. Now, who are you to say differently? First of all, why? What reason at all do you have to believe in Christianity if you don't believe the Bible? It's the only thing of Christianity that we have that's true. Everything else is the traditions of men. And God said if you add to His Word, He'll add to you the plagues that are written in this book. And if you take away from His Word, He'll take away your part from the tree of life. So you really don't have any choice. If you proclaim that you want to believe in Christianity, you have to believe what the Word says. Now, God says that this homosexuality is an abomination. Abomination. And what does the Bible say about abominations? Well, Revelation 21 and verse 8 tells us a little bit about it. Let me read that to you. "But for the fearful, the unbelieving..." So you can reject what I'm saying today, but you will be classified as an unbeliever. Okay? "But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable..." There it is, right there. Sodomy is abominable. Homosexuality, lesbianism, it's abominable. "And murderers and fornicators..." which, by the way, this is fornication, okay, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, some of you are saying, oh, those verses you read were in the Old Testament, David. Well, the Old Testament is what tells us what is abomination, in this case, what is abominable. And we're already told that fornication, and also Romans chapter 2 tells us plainly what fornication is, plainly what homosexuality is, and here he tells you that if you are an abomination, that you will be burned in the lake of fire. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's very plain. Jude 7 and 8, let me read that to you. For even as Sodom and Gomorrah, which is where sodomy got its name from that we read in Deuteronomy, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, having in like manner with these given themselves over to fornication and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the punishment of eternal fire. So you see, they are an example. And the cities of the nations that are given over to this sodomy, well, they're going to get the same treatment because this is an example. And whether they do or whether they don't, the people who act in fornication or sodomy, they will get this treatment. And gone after strange flesh are set forth as an example, suffering the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these also in their dreamings defile the flesh, and are set at naught, and set at naught dominion, and rail at dignities. And they set at naught dominion. I mean, what is that? The dominion of the Scriptures at the very least. You know, that, they're setting at naught that dominion. So, and we're told in 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'll read from verse 5. And spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah with seven others, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, having made them an example unto those that should live ungodly. An example. Now, what is that an example? We're going to see, because there are cities in these United States that are considered by God Sodom and Gomorrah, and he will burn them up, as the Word of God says, and as all the prophets have been saying for many years, he will burn them up. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me read a little piece of that to you. You see what the Bible says. It's plain. Now, they can say that God doesn't mean that anymore. He's a loving God. But you can make up a God if you want to, but it won't do you any good. You can stick your head in the sand if you want to, but it won't do you any good. What's coming is what God has said. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men. There it is. There's three times there he's spoken of this situation. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Oh, notice that. And such were some of you. The Corinthians, which many people like to call the carnal church, Paul says of them that they departed from those things. Such were some of you. But you were washed. You see, God has got the ability to wash your sins away. He's got the ability to wash away the very nature of perversion that is ruling in your life. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Now, you know, I've witnessed to quite a few homosexuals in my lifetime, and many of them have made up a convenient God, but they just kind of pick him out of the air, you know, because there's absolutely no foundation for such a God of love. No, God is a God of love, and that for that reason, he will not permit perverted people in his kingdom. He will not permit it. He is a God of love. He will not permit his kingdom to be defiled. It doesn't make any difference what you and I think, since he's the one with the key to the door. It really makes no difference what you and I think. We better find out what he thinks. We only have one place where we can go to find this out. You can't go to any church and find this out. They've kind of mostly all made a God of their own liking too. So we have to go to the Word of God. It's the only thing that's proven to us to be the Word of God. Numerics even. You know, I've shared with you on numerics how that it proves that the Bible is the Word of God. It has a perfect numeric pattern going through both the Greek and the Hebrew of the Bible, proving that no man could have written it. Not just happenstance, not just here and there, but all the way through it. No man could have written it. God wrote it. What was proven by numerics is that all of the writers of the 66 books would have had to been sitting at the same table with the same knowledge of math, and each one of them would have had to write their book last with the knowledge of the pattern in the other books in order for this to happen, and they'd all have to be mathematical geniuses, far more intelligence than any man has. So what did it prove? It proved that one mind wrote the Bible and that he was far and above, beyond anything we call genius. And so, you know, you better pay attention to what the Bible says. It doesn't make any difference what you think and what I think. It makes a difference what God says. Now, we've got proof. There's no other writing on earth that has the numeric pattern like the Bible does. Oh, you can find it accidentally in any kind of work out there. You can find it, like they say, in War and Peace, but you can't find it in any other writing, Greek or Hebrew or any other, all the way through the Old and New Testaments. It's generally found best in the ancient manuscripts, not in copies off of copies. But at any rate, it's there, proving that God wrote the Bible. Now, that should make you tremble, and I hope that it's going to make some of you go back and read it again for yourself to find out if what I'm saying is true. I just shared a few verses with you. There's quite a few more. But it's enough for you to see that you may have made a God of love, of what you call love. But God doesn't call that love. No, God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. He wiped them out. He saved Lot, a righteous man, the Bible says. Sent angels to him to move him out of the city and then burned it to a crisp. And you know what? They're still burning. So I suggest you fear God. Now, God is good. He knows that you didn't necessarily choose this life. Some of you, you know, think you had this from birth. But a lot of you already know that you were molested and you didn't choose this life. But you became a sinner and you turned and hurt other people. And God is holding you accountable to repent and to receive His grace. You can only turn from this sin by God's grace, but you can exercise faith in what Jesus Christ did. Now, Jesus Christ bore this sin that you're living in. He bore this sin upon Himself. He took your sin away. John called Him the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He took away the very nature of homosexuality, of the gay and lesbian lifestyle. There's nothing gay about it, and you know what I'm talking about. It's a miserable life. There's no happiness in it. Happiness is having God's will in you, because then you desire to do things that are in agreement with life, God's life. And God does that. He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. All He wants you to do is repent, turn to Him, believe His word, confess your sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all sin, all unrighteousness. He's able to do that. Many homosexualities, many lesbians have been delivered of this lifestyle, have a new nature, and wouldn't even think about going back. And some of you don't want to hear that at all. You want to be accepted as you are in the kingdom. But it ain't going to happen. It ain't. You just heard what the Word of God said. It's not going to happen. Give it up. Either get away from Christianity totally or get into it totally. But don't waste your time. Repent and turn to God. If you are elect and chosen of Him, He loves you and He'll do anything for you to deliver you from this. Find out what the true gospel speaks about. And, you know, you can go to our site and listen to the real good news, and you'll find out that God already delivered you from this sin. He already did it. It's just waiting for you to come and pick up the gift. It's a free gift. And some of you are saying, well, I tried. No, this ain't got nothing to do with trying. This has to do with receiving a gift from God. He'll take away the desire from you entirely. He will give you His desires. You accept this free gift. Salvation is a free gift. It's not by works. It's by grace. That means His favor. It's by His favor that you overcome this. And Father, we thank You. We ask You, Lord, to reach out and touch people out there who are in bondage to sin. Homosexual, heterosexual, any kind of sin. We ask You, Lord, to reach out and touch them with Your convicting power, Father. We ask You to show them that Your Word is true. We ask You to reveal Yourself to them. And we ask You to show them the real, true, good news that Jesus has already delivered them from this. He's already borne their sin on the cross, and they don't have to bear it any longer. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus that You go forth right now and deliver some that are listening to us who believe what's been stated here, that You go forth and deliver them now in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke these demons from your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your power going forth to restore those that You have loved from the foundation of the world. Thank You. Thank You, Father. Thank You. Now, friends, you need to go and start reading your New Testament. You know, the New Testament is the New Covenant. I'm surprised at how many people don't know about this. The New Covenant that God made with you is the New Testament. Don't start reading in the Old Testament if you've never read the Bible. You start reading the New Testament and get very familiar with it before going to any of the Old Testament. Get very familiar with your covenant. This is the one He made with you. Don't worry about the covenant He made with the Jews. It's very good. It was written to them in the letter and us in the Spirit. But you're not familiar with how to see in the Spirit yet. And the New Testament will help you with that. The New Testament gives you the true flavor of God's feelings towards you, what He will do for you, how He will give you grace, and how you can have a grace relationship with Him and not a law relationship with Him. It's sad, I know, that a lot of Christians are trapped under a covenant that God never made with them. And you don't want that to happen, because that separates you from Christ and His benefits, according to Galatians 5, 1, 2, and 3. So if you haven't read the Bible, you start on the New Testament and you just read and you read and you ask God, God, show me this. Open my eyes and help me to see this. Help me to understand this. You know, when Jesus spoke, He said, to him that has eyes to see and ears to hear. Well, you know, they all had eyes and ears that were listening, but they didn't all have spiritual eyes and ears. Now, the gift of God to those who are born again, those who repent and ask God to put His Spirit in them, the gift of God is spiritual eyes and ears. And you ask Him for that gift as you read the Bible and ask Him to take over your life and devote yourself as a disciple, not just accept Jesus as your personal Savior stuff that's out there, but you repent That means change your mind and you believe what that Bible says as you read it. And Jesus will make you his disciple. Now, none of Jesus' disciples, when you read in the Bible, you know, continued on in their sins. That was because they found grace from God. None of them were homosexuals or lesbians or whatever, or any other kind of sin. They didn't continue on in those things. We just read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said it very plainly. And such were some of you, but you were washed. The power of God delivers from sin. Now, I know you've been familiar with religion, and you probably don't have a lot of respect for it, and I don't either, because it really hasn't known or experienced or taught the real good news. But the Lord wants to wash you. You know, baptism is a type of that washing. You know, we get baptized because by faith we accept that this sin was washed away at the cross. And we died with Christ, and we're being buried with him, and come up out of that water as resurrected. And we exercise our faith in that, and God is the one that continues to do that work in us. So, repent, change your mind, read the New Testament. You're going to find something that I found 30-something years ago. That is, when you read that Bible, if you are one of God's chosen, that word is going to go in there and supernaturally change you. It's a reprogramming of your computer. You've been programmed wrongly. You've been taught and told lies. And you've told yourself lies because you wanted to feel good about yourself in this situation. So you need the truth now. You need God to put his truth in your heart. And the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, when you read the Bible and repent, which means change your mind and accept what it says, it has the power to transform you. Be transformed, Paul said, Romans 12, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How would you like to walk in the perfect will of God? Well, we need the mind of Christ to do that. That's what the word is. It's the mind of Christ. And you just cast out all that old programming that you've had, that wrong thinking that you've had, and pick up God's New Testament and read it. Let that word soak into your heart. You don't have to read it fast. You may, like I did. When I started reading it, I just started reading faster and faster and faster. For some reason, I just couldn't get enough of it. And then God said, slow down, you're eating like a hog, you know. So I did. I slowed down and I started thinking about it. And it became even more powerful, you know, by doing that. So read the New Testament. If you haven't, again, I want to say this again. If you haven't read the Bible, don't start in the Old Testament. It wasn't in the letter written to you. It was written to the Jews. Start in the New Testament. That's God's covenant with you. It's his testament. It's his will and testament through Jesus Christ to you. It's what he has bequeathed to you through the death of Jesus Christ, you see. So when you read that, just know that he's talking to you, and this is for you. What's the difference between somebody who doesn't get the benefits of the New Testament and somebody that does? There's only one difference. The person who receives the benefits is the one that believes they're for him. And Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. So when you read it, just know that God is personal. And this is his love letters to you. Okay? Praise be to God. And whatever any other sins that any of you are in bondage to out there that are listening, well, don't forget, God has given you the real good news. He has delivered you from whatever sin you're under. And the only difference is, you just need to believe it. That's right. And if you have a problem believing it and understanding it, just ask God. If you've got enough sense to ask God to give you his grace to believe, he will do that. If you ask him to help you to repent, He will do that. The very fact that you're asking means that you're being drawn of God. And God knows the low estate that we have fallen to. He knows we can do nothing of ourselves. But He also knows that He can give us that renewed mind. He can give us repentance. He can give you a brand new spirit. The first time you turn to Him, He can give you a brand new spirit. Your spirit is your connection with God, and it's fallen. Until you know God, until you know Jesus Christ, until you've had that born-again experience, you don't have a new spirit, and you have no connection to God. But the promise of the New Testament was that He would give you a new spirit, and He would put His spirit within you. And that's what you need. You know, in order to be born again, the first thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to have an enlightening. You're going to have a desire to please God. You might not even know what that is, but it's a desire to please God. There are many people that are just religious. They don't have the born-again experience. I actually heard the testimony of a pastor who had been a pastor for many years. And he prayed for people to be saved, and they got saved. And he prayed for people to get healed, and they got healed. And he said after many, many years of pastoring a church, he realized he wasn't saved. He said, David, how could that be? Well, it happens. It sure happens. It has to do with the person who is needing and wanting and asking God. He's not asking the pastor for these gifts, but God is merciful, and He gives them anyway, you know. And this guy, after many years of pastoring, turned to the Lord, and the Lord saved him. And he realized, oh, this is what salvation is. He was just religious. Lots of people are religious. Lots of religious leaders have never, ever been born again. And you really can't trust any man, but you can trust the Word. And if you want to know what original Christianity is all about, read the Word. Don't look around you. Read the Word. Because it still works. It works for all those that believe it. And it's still around, not like it was back in the apostles' days, but it's coming again. Get ready. It's coming in full force. The sons of God are going to be manifest in this earth very, very soon. And it's going to shake the world. Glory be to God.